TMZ TV.
I would be appalled to see a woman leading an ecclesia, to see a woman in charge of a body of believers. I would not promote it. If I were around, I would not allow it. Not that women can't do it, not that they're not smart enough or not equipped. It's that it's the improper order of things, and I'm going to tell you why here momentarily. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, and there's been some discussion from yesterday's show. People are shocked and appalled, some of them, that I teach that the female is the superior gender. I'm going to tell you why I think that. It's a scriptural thing. I have two scriptures for you along that line. I'm saying overall, generally, it is true that women have some strengths that men don't have. Men have some strengths women don't have. Men are obviously stronger physically. And it is true that women are more trusting of people. Some may say they're naive. And that is a detrimental characteristic in a wicked eon. And I'm going to tell you why women are not suited to a wicked eon. This is a compliment to them, not a detriment to them. The year after my divorce in 2009, which was the worst thing that ever happened to me, I started dating this woman in Indianapolis. Dan Sheridan and I were going to Indianapolis. He was coming down from Chicago. I was going over from Ohio. We started teaching at WMEL. We had a radio show at WMEL 1100 in Indianapolis. And this woman heard us on the show, and she offered her house to put us up. Sheridan and I, we would make 15 shows over 2 days, so that we would only have to come to Indianapolis once a month or once every 3 weeks. And it's this woman who put us up at her house who introduced me to another woman who was a professor at a college. Guess what she taught? Yeah, you won't believe this. She taught human sexuality. Anyway, this is going to shock you what I'm about to say. I, Martin Zender, went to her church. Yes, I did. I went to her church. I will never set foot in another church, but I was so depressed sitting at home on Sundays that I thought, you know what, even church is better than this. The church was in an auditorium, at a high school auditorium. And, yeah, can you believe it? I know. The things we do for love. But I would never do this again. Let me tell you what happened. It belongs to this topic found in my book, Eve Raised. This woman, after the preacher had done his thing, his hip-hop thing, a woman came up and gave a testimony. And I was asked later by this girlfriend of mine, what would you think if I went up to the microphone and taught in this church? I said, why do you ask? She said, because I do it sometimes. I said, I would be appalled. I would be against it. I think it's horrific. And I would not have it for you ever. Well, this woman was somewhat of a feminist, and she was initially shocked that I would say that. And like, it was deal breaker territory. And I understood that. But once I explained to her, and it only took me 5 minutes, after 5 minutes of explaining to her my reasons, she said, and I quote, that is a good reason, unquote. And I quote again, I could live with that, period, unquote. Why did she say that? What did I say to her? I'm going to share that with you right now. Here is a passage from the Apostle Paul that has disheartened women for two millennia. And it has also made men think more highly of themselves than they ought. I'm not saying men should not think highly of themselves. I'm just saying that this passage, misconstrued, has made some men arrogant. Now, there is a hierarchy in the ecclesia. There is a place for men and women. This is of divine origin, and it plays to the strengths and weaknesses of men and women. Here's the passage, 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 15. I'm probably going to spend 2 days bringing you some highlights from my book, Eve Raised. Tomorrow, I'll spend 2 days bringing you highlight, or after this, I'll bring highlights from Beyond Politics. Then I'll spend another 2 days, it might take three, bringing you highlights from Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction, because that is the bombshell book. There are revelations in all these books that you will not hear from anyone but me. And I'm just stating the facts. Here it is. Let a woman be learning in quietness with all subjection. Now I am not permitting a woman to be teaching, nor yet to be domineering over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first molded, thereafter Eve, and Adam was not seduced. Yet the woman, being deluded, has come to be in the transgression. Yet she shall be saved through the childbearing, if ever they should be remaining in faith and love and holiness with sanity. Tough words from Paul. This is why the subtitle of this book is Why Women Think the Apostle Paul Hates Them. The Apostle Paul has a bad reputation for hating women. This is an undeserved reputation because he does not hate women. He is observing. I called it an order earlier, but it's not really an order. He is observing a natural law. And this is what you won't hear anywhere else. It is a natural law that would prohibit women from leading and teaching in an ecclesia. The problem begins when people see the office of a teacher as, when people see that as glamorous, when people see it, and I can see why they see it as glamorous, because that's what it is today. It has become the role of teacher. It has become a glamorous position, a position of celebrity. It's become a position of envy and a high attainment. And that Paul would say, I do not allow a woman to teach in the ecclesia. It seems from our perspective in the year 2019 that Paul is saying that women should not be allowed to ascend to this elegant, celebrated, romantic, enviable, high position. But that is not the case. This should become fairly clear that Paul says he wants a woman to be learning in quietness. I'm going to go to another passage in this same context text that everybody overlooks that mentions the word quietness. Here's the problem, is we see teaching as this splendid, celebrated position rather than what it is, which is a trench. Teaching is a trench. Teaching is warfare. Teaching is a man being in a position where he will be repeatedly attacked by Satan. Teaching done right will get you stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, and killed. Do we really want to see these things happening to Priscilla? Paul does not want a woman to be teaching and to be leading, not because she is incapable of it, not because she isn't good enough, but because she is too good. She is too good to be sent to the front lines of a war. What civilized nation puts machine guns in the hands of their mothers, their wives, and their women, and sends them to the front lines of a battle. Whatever nation does that has set itself on the path to obliteration. It will soon not be a nation or a culture. It is nightmarish to even think of putting a machine gun in the hand of a mother and sending her to the front line of battle. Why? Because she can't pull the trigger? Because she doesn't know how to aim the gun? No. Because she's scared? No. Because she's too good. She's not expendable. She's too valuable to waste. Teachers and men in general are wasted. They're sent off to war, both political and spiritual. Oh, believe me, I had wonderful ideas, just rose-colored ideas of what this job I'm now doing would be like. I was naive in 1993 when I started this work. I had no idea what I was in for. And if ever I had any daydreamish notions that teaching, that being a teacher in the ecclesia was some stellar romantic job, I was soon educated otherwise by God Himself. This is a freaking war. And a teacher is in the front lines of satanic attack. We will not do this to the fair sex. Paul, he would be just as appalled to see a woman leading an ecclesia as he would to see a woman holding a weapon and going to the front lines of a war. It's that unnatural. Men are supposed to die protecting women and children. Do you want a child leading an ecclesia? Do you want a child going to war? I'm not saying women are children, but I'm saying that they're in the same class of those who are too valuable to be fodder for satanic attack. They're too valuable. It's sick. Again, the problem is that we look at teachers like Joel Osteen and what's that crazy, Joyce Meyer. And these people are celebrities, and they're rich, and they fly Gulfstreams, and they live in mansions, and they're respected and adored, Billy Graham. The problem is, these people aren't real teachers. They're presidents of the world's most popular religion. So I suppose if you wanted to say that, if you wanted to call these people teachers, then put women up there. Put women up there. Because it's nothing. It's fluff. You're not even a teacher. You're a cult leader. You're a cheerleader at a high school pep rally. That's what these people are. Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, and the whole bunch of them. They're cheerleaders at a pep rally. So, Paul's not considering cheerleaders at a pep rally. That's what teachers have become today. No, Paul is talking about real teaching, where the teacher is putting forth the word of God. Satan's not opposing Joel Osteen. Why do you think he has a mansion and a Gulfstream? Why do you think Joyce Meyer has a mansion and a Gulfstream? Because they're not real teachers. They're not being opposed. Satan isn't opposing them. Satan is fanning their flames. Satan appointed them. They're not coming under satanic attack. When Paul says, I want a woman to be in quietness, he's considering the possibility of a woman leading a real ecclesia. Shit, hell's bells, that woman's going to be stoned, killed, beaten, tortured, jailed, shipwrecked, spent a day and a night in a swamp. Do we want to see that happening to Priscilla? Hell no! It didn't happen on Paul's watch. It won't happen on my watch. Because women are too good for it. That's the premise of Eve Raised. Paul says, let a woman be learning in quietness. This is not the quietness of shut up, as you see the illustration on the front of my book. That's the quietness of shut up, where a man puts his hand over a woman's mouth, telling her she's too dumb or too stupid to teach. She's not. This is not the quietness of shut up, but the quietness of be at peace, be hushed. Because this is the safest place for you. In the same context, nobody ever goes to this context. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, I am entreating then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, pleadings, thanksgiving be made for all humanity, for kings and all those being in a superior station, that we may be leading a mild and quiet life in all devoutness and gravity. For this is ideal and welcome in the sight of our Savior God. A mild and quiet life is ideal. Thus, the teacher does not lead the ideal life. I found this out the hard way by doing it, by jumping off the cliff, and I've been doing it for 25 years. It is not the ideal life. All my romantic suppositions were exploded very quickly. And it hasn't gotten better. Did Paul lead a mild and quiet life? Riddle me this. Did Paul lead a mild and quiet life? No. His life was neither quiet or mild. Thus, the teacher does not lead the ideal life. This is why James says in chapter 3, verse 1, not many should become teachers, being aware that we shall be getting greater judgment. Yeah, that's another thing. Greater judgment. Because the teacher has a responsibility, and the teacher better be right. And the teacher better know what he's talking about. A teacher puts his neck on the line both in this life and in the next life. I will tell you later this week, or perhaps early next week, why I believe women are our better selves. We call women the better sex, the fair sex. A man says of his wife, this is my better half. This is literal. It is our duty as men to keep women from struggle and harm. They're too precious to be exposed, challenged, shot at, stoned, tortured, shipwrecked, and raped. Why are men then subjected to this? Why not spare the sons of Adam, that is males? Because Adam was first molded thereafter Eve. See, people hear this phrase, Adam was first molded thereafter Eve, and they think that Paul is saying Adam's better because he was created first and then Eve. No, Adam is the expendable one. He's the one who comes first. He's the one who is required to protect Eve. He's the one of whom we require sacrifice. The perfect example is Jesus Christ. The woman is Adam's glory, and she's the one that he is to protect. She came later doesn't mean that he's better. It means that he becomes responsible for her. We put the Hope Diamond in a case, a velvet pedestal in a glass case at the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C. We separate it. We segregate it. Why? Isn't it good enough to mingle with the other stones? Why are you keeping the Hope Diamond away from what it could be among the other stones? Because it's better than the other stones. Woman is man's glory. I get into this in detail in this book. Woman is the glory of the man. I'll probably touch on this tomorrow. I'll have to. Christ is the glory of God. Man is the glory of Christ. Woman is the glory of man. That which comes out of that which precedes it gives what it comes out of a... it gives people a higher opinion of it. Nobody can see God, so Christ becomes his glory, his effulgence, his radiance. No one can see Christ, so man ideally becomes his glory and his radiance by reflecting his life. And a woman is the glory and the radiance of a man. She gives the public at large a better opinion of the man than he would have without her. Peter, 1 Peter 3:4, also wishes for women, quote, a mild and quiet spirit. He says this specifically of women, a mild and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly. That's the exact word in the concordant literal New Testament. Quietness is costly. A meek and quiet spirit is costly. Oops, we forgot to read this part. When Paul starts talking about why he wants a woman to be in quietness. This is why, because quietness is costly. A quiet life is a promotion. It's an upgrade from teaching. It's more costly than teaching. But again, we miss this because of what teaching has become in the pop world of Christianity. Oh, how dare you keep women from attaining this high place? It's not a high place. It's trench warfare. It's a slog through the mud. No, we will not put our women in harm's way. 1 Timothy 2:14. I might have to wait to get into this tomorrow. I might have to spend 3 days on this. Someone commented on the YouTube video yesterday that I have a blind spot toward women, that I admit I'm an idealist. Yes, I am. Being a Libra, I am an idealist. So I tend to see the best in everybody. That has been exploded out of me, okay? In this book, I put great power in the hands of women. I am hesitant to do so, but I do it anyway because I'm forcing myself to still be an idealist. Yeah, I don't know. Being an idealist, I'm not sure it's helped me in life. But you know what? I think I would rather still be an idealist than to think the worst of people. And you know, now that I'm reflecting in front of you here, I'm thinking that maybe it was just a little bit hard on myself right there, because I still do think the best of women. I say all this just because of a comment somebody made, how women in this era have belittled men, and we live in an era where women have such great power. And so many of them use it illicitly for instance, all a woman has to do nowadays is accuse a man of rape. We saw that in the Judge Kavanaugh hearings here in the United States. Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump's appointment for the Supreme Court, as many of you know, of course, he was accused of something he didn't do. And we give women this great place of authority and power that in many cases they don't deserve. So there are cultural stereotypes I am fighting with this. And I almost feel like I have to address them because this is the culture we're living in. So now that I've addressed them, and I don't know what conclusion I have come to except to say that when I say women are superior, I say this not considering what some women have done with their power. There's the idealist in me coming back, where a more cautious person wouldn't say that. I'll tell you later this week or next week why I believe that women are superior. A more cautious person wouldn't say it because of the power that can be abused by saying it. And yet, whether or not power is abused, truth is truth. People can abuse truth all the time. Is it my job to consider all the people that can abuse truth? Yes, I've gotten education about women over the last 25 years. Yes, I'm not as naive as I used to be. Yes, I'm more careful than I used to be. Yes, I'm less trusting than I used to be. But if I brush all that aside, I will say this, that underneath all that turmoil that I've been through, I will still hold to the truth, hold fast to the truth, even if it costs me again. And I will say that woman is superior slightly over Adam. And that this is why we are to protect the female. Because women are more valuable. Why? Why are they more valuable? Why? 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 Because they came afterwards. What initially appears like a slight, Adam came first, then came Eve, that appears at first blush to be a slight on Eve. But when we analyze, and I analyze it in detail in this book, it looks like a small book, but this thing's packed. When I analyze it in detail, you will see that coming later actually lends to the female a greater glory. Woman is the glory of the man. So I am going to throw out 21st century culture. I am going to deal with the scriptures. So I'm going to come across like a dude stuck in the first century. Sometimes I wish I was. And I'm going to talk to you as Paul would have seen and considered women back in the day. Back in the day when people think women were treated as second-class saints. Maybe in the world they were treated as second-class citizens. Yes, we know that. We know that. Women have been abused and marginalized and put down for hundreds of years, but not in the ecclesia. I am talking to you specifically about believing women. This book is for every woman in the body of Christ. Yes, all 200 of them. So tomorrow, I want to talk to you about this verse. Adam was not seduced, yet the woman being deluded has come to be in the transgression. Why was the woman deluded? Because she was stupid? No, not because she was stupid. For a completely different reason that actually, again, proves my contention that women are slightly better. than men. And I also touch on how a woman is saved through childbearing. How is a woman saved through childbearing? She's not saved unless she has babies. What's that all about? Only 2 days. One more day on this. I'd love to go through the whole book with you. I love this topic. I've studied this for decades, literally. This is called Eve Raised, Why Women Think the Apostle Paul Hates Them. You can order it. Go to my website, martinzender.com. Scroll down a little bit. Look at the three new books. Click on them. This is also available on Kindle. And my sister, Kelly, wanted me to tell you that How to Quit Church Without Quitting God is also now available on Kindle. Get yours wherever books are sold.